What's going on, all my podcasters? See Jizzle and the fucking Wizzle. So I talked a lot last time about making my own castle, getting my own land, blah, 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 blah. That sounds good. That's going to be a lot of work and everything. But right now I want to talk about what it's going to take right now. You know, not what it's going to take 10 years from now. So, somebody who is working a full-time to part-time job, depending on the scenario. I've got my own bills to pay right now. Still got rent to pay. If I didn't, then I'd have $650 a month to save every month, right? So, you know, you do the math, and that's like $7,800 a year. So, $7,800 a year is a lot of money to somebody that lives in a van. It's a lot of money. And when I say that's a lot of money, that's like fucking 2 years worth of groceries. 2 years worth of groceries. Like, for 1 year worth of groceries, you can spend $3,500 easily. Easily. $8,000, that's like 2,000, that's like 2 months. Or not 2 months, 2 years. And so, you know, that's a big difference. Just from not paying rent, okay, I've saved 2 years of groceries. That's crazy. So what I've been thinking is, okay, I need to have a job, right? But I need to stop paying rent. And that's the biggest thing, because, like I said, just me paying rent every year is taking $8,000 out of my pocket. So if I waited 2 years, I can have $16,000 in my pocket. If I waited 3 years, $24,000 in my pocket. Sorry, I had to do the math. $24,000 in your pocket after 3 years. Now, like I said, it takes $3,000, $3,500 a year to pay for groceries. So if you already had a good rig, $3,500 a year, that could be over 4 years worth of groceries. Okay? So, damn it, motherfucker. So, no matter which way you want to look at it, you could use that money to buy a new rig, or you can use that money to use for groceries and to live off of. Now, me, I'd rather just buy a piece of shit rig and live out of it for 2 years and save up the money. But a lot of people are going out there, and like I said, after about 3-4 years, they're buying a brand new rig. That's cool. That's great. Because it's brand new, and that thing should last you about 20 years. Hopefully. And with nowadays, with this electric shit going on, you better fucking get a cargo van that's a gas-powered cargo van. Really soon, because if you don't, you're going to be fucked. Another thing that I thought about was, okay, you got all these gas-powered vehicles, and by a certain year, the president says it's going to be all electric. Now, I don't believe that. I just think it's impossible, for one. For two, there's going to have to be a very big incentive to where the government pays people to get rid of their gas-powered cars. And that's just, it's not in the budget right now. So, not only that, but if you think about it, somebody tells you, okay, the government isn't making any more gas-powered cars. They're not selling any more gas. Right? And you've got this fucking beast that takes so many gallons of gasoline, right? People are going to start making their own gas because that's just the way that shit works, right? It's just never going to happen. It's never going to happen. So, even with diesel, like, diesel fuel is probably the easiest to make when it comes down to making diesel. You know, whether you're making diesel fuel or whether you're making regular fuel, diesel fuel is probably the easiest to make. So let's just say that, okay? The government cuts us all off and they say there's no more diesel fuel, and people have diesel fuel rigs, gas-powered rigs. Do you think that they're just going to sell that shit and get rid of... No, they're going to start making diesel fuel on their own property and selling it, bootleg. And that's very dangerous. That's very, you know, toxic. You know, if it leaks or anything into the groundwater, you know, it's a very deadly thing. First of all, anybody that thinks that electric cars are more efficient is a fucking idiot. Because in order to power an electric car, guess what you gotta have? A coal-burning power plant. A power plant that burns coal that makes electricity. So for all these fucking idiots that... And not only that, but it takes a lot more energy to produce an electric car than it does a gas-powered car. So for all these people out there that are saying, oh, it's good for the environment, blah, 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 whatever. Whatever. It's absolutely bananas. Like, let's say you're stuck in the fucking middle of the Nevada desert, okay? There isn't a charging station for, like, 40 miles. And you're dead. Your batteries ran out. What are you gonna do? Well, you gotta get a fucking tow for 40 miles. Or you gotta buy an electric generator and be able to charge your shit up. Either way, it's completely stupid. So, I got my bike. I've been riding it for like 8 years, give or take. And as long as there's not 3 foot plus of snow, I don't have a problem. And a lot of times, snow plows and shit around here, since I live in a city, they keep it pretty well taken care of. Fall time's coming. And fall time is getting really kind of unpredictable. Because, about, I don't know, 3 days ago, it was like 90 degrees. It was hot as fuck. Like summertime weather, and now all of a sudden it's dropped down to, I think it's 50 degrees tonight, but it's supposed to get down in the 40s, upper 50s, lower 40s, and for the next week it's going to be in the 40s as a low. So there is no more summer weather unless you go out in the daytime. You know, it'd be like 70 degrees, maybe. might be 65, 60, who knows. But there's no more summer weather. And it's starting to get cold outside. I'm starting to realize it. I'm starting to, you know, feel it. And even when it gets into, like, the 40s, you really kind of feel it. You know, you're kind of, you know, I'm somebody that's, I'm used to riding in the winter for the past 8 years, okay? And this is the first year where I feel like it's going to be a bad winter. And I feel like my bones and my joints or everything are already kind of aching over it. Just thinking about it, you know, I mean, last year was pretty cold. It's pretty fucking cold. But they're saying that this year and the next year is going to be like twice as cold. It's going to be like bone brittle, fucking terrible cold, you know. So, I've got my bike set up. I've got to go down there to the mechanic and still get it released. But I still feel like I'm going to have problems out of it. So, it's going to be a really, really long winter. You know, it's going to start probably in the end of November, December, January, February, March. It's going to be at least 4 months of winter. And the thing is, I'm going to be riding my bike in it every day of the week. So all that snow, all that salt and everything that's on the roads, it's, you know, kind of something that comes along with riding in the winter. Now, a lot of my bikes, they kind of have, well, I've only got two different bikes, but the bikes that I do ride in the winter, they have a film on them, I guess you can say. As soon as I get done riding, well, even throughout the winter, there's a film that's a salt layer, and it's from riding my bike on the streets with salt. Now, here recently, I haven't really thought anything about it, but whenever I seen that my bike mechanic was cleaning off my paint with brake cleaner, it was kind of taking off the gloss, right? So, honestly, what I should be doing is, every once in a while, I should be going to the car wash and at least spraying it off. At least spraying all the salt off. Because, you know, you can ride along for months and months on end. You can ride along for 4 months if you want, but all that salt is going to sit on there and corrode shit. And it's just best if you kind of take it to a car wash, spray it off, get all the salt off of it. Even if it's like right below freezing, you know, if it's fucking cold as fuck outside. I mean, I park mine inside of my apartment anyways. So, whenever I pulled into my apartment, I usually got a towel sitting out because, you know, with the snow and the salt and everything dripping down and drying off of it, it usually ends up on the wood floor, and if you got a stained wood floor, it's gonna fucking ruin it. And my bike sits right next to a heater, so if you're out there and you're riding around in the salt, right, and you might not think anything about it, but you park it right next to a warm heater, your chain is going to rust. Everything is going to rust. Because you got all that salt on it, it just kind of gets baked on there, and it oxidizes, it gets warm. It's terrible. So keep it lubed up, you know, as much as you can, even with all the salt and the, you know, I would say about once a week, you should, you know, clean your chain to make sure that there's no salt on it. That's just kind of the thing that comes along with riding in the wintertime. So, and then if anything else happens, if you end up getting, you know, brake problems and shit like that, I haven't had any brake problems, but look into, like I said, the buildup and the salt and whatnot. If you have, if you ride your bike in the wintertime and then you go and use your bike in the summertime or in the springtime, sometimes you need to have your rotor replaced, and that's because all those salt particles sit inside on those brake pads. And when you slam on those brakes, all those little pieces of salt that's still in there etches grooves and shit onto your rotor. So it's not a cheap thing. Riding a bicycle around, people are like, oh, it's, you know. Now, if you get a piece of shit cheap bicycle from Walmart for like $200, you're going to be kind of at the whelm of, you know, having a cheap bike. It's got shitty brakes on it. The only good thing about Walmart bikes is most of them have mechanical brakes, like pull brakes, instead of hydraulics. I hate hydraulic brakes. Terrible. Hydraulic brakes are the worst thing to have in the winter, because when it gets too cold and it gets like negative 10 degrees outside, the hydraulic fluid freezes and you can't use it. So I had a bike one time that I was borrowing. Had mechanical brakes on the back, but it had hydraulic disc brakes on the front. And people are like, oh, hydraulic disc brakes are the best thing to have. No, they're not. Like I said, it gets too cold outside, you can't use them. Your fucking brakes go out. I went to an intersection one time and I tried to use my front brakes. Didn't work. I had to use my back brakes. It was crazy. Thought I was gonna fucking get ran over. So I know everybody is going with the trend and getting hydraulic brakes. They're fucking terrible if you live somewhere where it's really cold. Now, if you live somewhere down south, you know, or somewhere out west where it's only going to get like 40 degrees at night, it's fucking great to have hydraulic brakes. It takes a little bit more maintenance. Like I said, you got to put it in the shop and get the hydraulic fluid changed, all that shit. But they're a lot more responsive, I guess you could say. I love disc brakes. I love disc brakes. I can, you know, any bike that I'll ever use is going to have disc brakes. I'm never going to use hydraulics. So, because they're like a halfway between mechanical, between using just pads, and they're halfway in between hydraulics. You can get really good stopping power off disc brakes. And, you know, it's just from the pull of a cable. So the only thing that I have to say to anybody listening to this podcast is just be you. And at the end of the day, you're going to have people that say, oh, this is the wrong way to do it. Or, oh, you should do it this way. Or, oh, you shouldn't do this because this will happen. And that's kind of the whole reason why I'm going to be forming my own country. Because a lot of people say you can't do it, even though I know you can. And basically what it is your own private property. I mean, that's basically what it is. You pay taxes on it to the government. Just like, you know, Ireland did to the British. It's your property, but you still have to pay taxes on it. Same thing. Same fucking thing. So, let's see. Smoke a little bit more weed. That's another thing. In my country, it's legal to grow weed. It's legal to smoke weed. It's a crop. It's a crop just like corn is. So, it's going to be protected under my country's act. If the federal government wants to come and prosecute over it, then they're going to have to cross over a moat and through a door and another door. So, and it's not going to be very, you know, from the resources that they're going to use to get in there to get it, it's not going to be very cost effective. It's going to take a lot of money to get into the stronghold. So, it wouldn't be worth it. It really wouldn't. You know, a lot of these people grow weed in their own houses and shit. They got helicopters over there flying over their house in Los Angeles and shit. It's crazy. It's crazy. Over some weed. Right? Well, in my kingdom, we're gonna have crops. We're going to have crops, but they're going to be protected by the moat that's around it. So, if the firearm tobacco people want to come and try and raid my crops, then they're going to have to cross over the moat, you know? Either way. And even then, I wouldn't tell them. I got the right to do whatever I want on my own private property. So, you know, the federal government says, I can't do this, I can't do that. But the federal government isn't what is in control of this property. I'm in control of this property. I'm the king of this nation. So, you know, federal government says, this can't happen, and that can't happen. You can't smoke weed, you can't grow weed, this and that, right? Well, how can you make laws on a land that's not your land? So it all comes down to, and it all comes back to, the fact that it's constitutional land, constitutional property. Everybody has the right to be in their own house, secure, without any searches or seizures and whatnot. So as long as everything is going on my own property, then there's no reason why anybody should suspect that, you know. So it all comes down to if a certain state was to try and advance onto my property. If I realized that it wasn't such a big threat, let's say, Because if it was a huge threat and the end of the world was coming, I would kill him. I mean, and people on top that have sniper rifles and whatnot would just pick them off one by one. But, you know, if it came down to it to where we can solve some shit and talk about some stuff, okay. Because at the end of the day, whenever they're proved wrong, I'm going to end up suing that state. And I'm going to get some financial aid. Because once they actually realize that I'm my own state, once they actually recognize me as a state against federal or state property, once they actually realize that and they try and prosecute me, then I'm going to turn around and apply for foreign aid. And what that says is anybody that applies for foreign aid has to be recognized as a country first, okay? And a lot of countries won't recognize a lot of these micro countries unless they go to war with them or they end up with a conflict. So what's going to happen is the United States government is not going to like the fact that I have my own country. And they're going to come over and start a conflict. And then I'm going to sue the United States government. And then the United States government is going to recognize me as an actual country. That's just the way that it goes. And I know that's the way that it goes, and I know that's the way it's going to go. But at the end of the day, you know, good luck getting in there, for one. And for two, the sovereignty and freedom of people are a lot more important to me than any fake state law that's ever passed. Constitutional law supersedes state law, in my opinion. Now, they made a law a little while back that said that, you know, state law and federal law are kind of the same. That, you know, the state can make whatever laws they want, you know, blah, blah, blah. Now listen, if I'm living in a state, let's say I'm living in Alabama, okay? And the state says it's wrong for you to have a castle. And the state law says you cannot have a castle. Let's just say that, okay? I want the state of Alabama to come and take it from me. I really do. Because if they do, I'm going to end up killing everybody, like I said. And then, in a U.S. constitutional court and a federal court, it's going to rule that, you know, he had his own land, it was private property, it was posted it was private property, and you sent like 30 fucking people over there to kill him. So, you know, that's what it's going to come down to. I'm telling you. Here really soon, it's going to be, you know, a lot of people think it's cool to own cars now. A lot of people think it's cool to have a house and shit. But here in the next 5-10 years, it's going to be cool to own some property. That's going to be the next trend. To be able to own your own land. That's going to be the next trend, okay? And everybody and their brother is going to try and buy some land. And by constitutional law, I don't care what state you're in, but by constitutional law, I mean, you have the right to be on your own land, and you have the right to bear arms, and so on and so forth. And so there's a lot of states out there that say you can't unless you have a permit, blah, blah, blah. It's a bunch of hoopla. There's a lot of states out there, like Vermont, for example, that you don't have to have a permit, you don't have to fucking do nothing but be 18 years old and go into a store and buy a gun. In Missouri, you know, it's really easy. You just have to have an ID, you go in there, and you buy a gun. It's really easy. But in fucking Illinois, there's something about Illinois that they think if you have a FOID card, it makes it more safe. And not only that, but with concealed carry license and shit, it's like pulling teeth from an elephant. You gotta take a 16-hour class and pay for it just to have a concealed carry license. Now, I think that anybody and their brother should be able to conceal any firearm. Think about it. I mean, if you had people out there robbing people and shit, wouldn't you want a Joe Blow down the street that might have something tucked under his waistband to be able to stop the shit? Because let's face it, the cops don't get there quick enough. I worked at a gas station for a long time. For like 9 years, okay? Anytime that I called the cops, it took them at least 30 minutes. At least. So if somebody pulled a gun on you, you know, wouldn't you want somebody else, maybe some customer that's standing in line, to be able to pull a gun on them, to be able to save your life, you know? And that's what it all comes down to. Everybody in America has the right to carry a fucking gun. Everybody. It says it in the Constitution. Everybody has the right to bear arms. It doesn't say, oh, you have the right to bear arms if you apply for a permit. It doesn't say you have the right to bear arms if you take a fucking 16-hour class. It doesn't say that. It does not say that. It says anybody who is American-born has the right to bear arms. That's what it says. So, all these people out here in these different states that are trying to get you caught up, they're trying to get you on a court case, okay, they might find you guilty, let's say. You might, like, let's say somebody breaks in your house, the gun isn't registered, you fucking kill somebody, and you go to court in the state of Ohio, let's say, okay. Now, well, let's say in the state of Illinois, because the state of Illinois is more strict. Now, let's say you shoot somebody in the state of Illinois and the gun isn't registered, they're going to try and charge you as a criminal. They're going to try and charge you because the gun wasn't registered, it's a felony charge. Firing a gun that isn't registered is also a felony charge. They're going to try and get you on the murder charge. You know, they're going to have like fucking 4 or 6 charges on you. Okay? In other states, like Vermont, let's say, constitutional carry. Texas, it's pretty much the same thing. It's constitutional carry. You got open carry. You got concealed carry. Okay? They don't care no matter which way you carry it. And that's the way it should be. The crime rate in Dallas is very high. In Dallas, Texas, in the suburbs, it's very high. I mean, the crime rate is crazy. But when you get into the rural area where people are actually packing and people don't give a fuck. Because the thing is, like, when you get into those rural urban areas, 3/4 of those people don't have a gun. I would say 1/8 of those people are actually carrying a gun. 1/8 of them. And so when you go out into a heavy crowded area like that, and you got like 1/8 of the people carrying a gun, you got a lot more chances of actually hurting somebody. But if everybody was carrying a gun, if everybody was open carry, concealed carry, open carry, nobody would think, you know, think about it. I'm going to go into this bar and I'm going to try and rob this place, and there's probably going to be 20 people in here with a gun. So I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go and try and shoot up this school, you know, but all these college students are probably open carrying and they all got a gun. Even the chance of one of those students having a gun, let's say a crazy gunman goes into a classroom and holds a classroom hostage, and one of these students has an open carry, you know, he's not going to get very far. He's not going to get very far. And they ain't going to have to wait on the police. Because, you know, like I said, the police not only take forever to get to where they need to get, but once they get there, like with, what's that one school shooting? What was that last one? The name of the school was Uvalde, or Uvalde, you know, a lot of people call it different shit, but it was spelled Uvalde, and those police officers are fucking cowards. They're fucking cowards, and, you know, like, they stood outside and they waited for like 10 minutes and shit like that. They just stormed that fucking school as fast as they should have. You know, I mean, and they sat outside and they waited and shit. Because they were cowards. They were fucking piece of shit cowards. And there's a lot more to that story too. If you ever look up, if you ever just type into Google, cowardly police, that's going to be the first thing that pops up, is the Uvalde shooting. And, you know, first of all, I've never been a police officer. I've thought about being one, just due to the pay, and around here, in my city, you can get paid like 55, 60 grand a year to be an officer, and I've really thought about it. I'm not gonna lie, I've really, really thought about it. But there's so much violence going on, and there's so much what ifs. That's, you know, I thought about doing it for maybe 5 years and then retiring. You know, a lot of people, you gotta have a 20-year period or whatever, but to be honest, even if you made 50 grand a year, after 4 years, you know, you made $200,000. And, you know, the thing is, it's a big risk. It's a huge risk being out there on the streets, especially around here. I don't know, you know, it's even more of a risk when you get into places like Los Angeles and shit like that. But even around here, it's very deadly. It's it's almost not even worth it. That's why they're paying you $60,000 a year. But this is somewhere in the Midwest, okay? And when you get up to Chicago, I would say that Chicago is paid a lot more. They're paid a lot more. They would, here in the Midwest, like I said, they're starting out at 50 grand, 50, 55 grand a year. Easily. So, for one police officer in Chicago, would have to be at least $60,000, $80,000 a year. I mean, if you think about it, okay. Now, like I said, I'm like 4 hours away from Chicago, okay? And I know for a fact that police officers are being paid about 50 to 60 grand a year. So, like I said, it's lucrative. It's really, when you talk to somebody that's an officer, they'll try and recruit you in and make it sound good and everything. And, $60,000 a year sounds really good because it's about double what I make right now. Well, no, it's probably more than double. But the point is, you gotta deal with drunk people, you gotta deal with domestic battery and shit all the time. And that's cool and everything, if you can deal with that. If you're not afraid with pulling out your taser and, calling for backup, that's fine. But there's a few different instances here on YouTube and Facebook that I've seen police officers getting shot, and it makes me really double think things, You go in for a traffic stop somewhere, and you got some guy that he's an ex-convict. He's got a gun in the car. He's got drugs and shit. He ain't trying to go to jail. And all it takes is for him to shoot you once in the face and you're done. You know what I'm saying? So I have a certain respect for law enforcement. I really do. But at the same time, I don't know. I really want to be a part of cleaning up my city and shit, but at the same time, I just know that it's a deadly, deadly thing to get into. So, anywho, I'm gonna go ahead and, I gotta wake up tomorrow, and I don't have to be up until later in the evening, because I don't have to be up to go to work until 4. So I gotta be up at 3. So I'm gonna sit here, I'm gonna think about shit, kind of self-reflect on my own. But for a lot of people out there, you really need to think about how, the economy could crash tomorrow. A lot of people out here are going to be fucked. A lot of people. No jobs, no money. Groceries, are going to go sky high. Eventually, the government's going to collapse, and there's not going to be any food stamps. And yeah, it's just going to be really ugly. So, You thought it was really ugly right now with people looting and stealing shit, but when they cut food stamps off, everybody's gonna be robbing everybody for meat, for guns, for money. It's gonna be crazy. So if I was you, I would get a gun, honestly. You know, a lot of you know, even a little 22, like a little self-protection gun, because there's so many people around here that just walk up to you, pull a gun on you. You know, even if you're in New York, whether you're in the Midwest, whether you're in Chicago, whatever, they just fucking pull a gun on you. And I think it's really smart for you to just go out and just pay the fucking money to take the class, whatever it is. Even though I think it's ridiculous, I think it's crazy to get a concealed carry license. I think it's crazy. But if you get caught on the streets and you're carrying a gun underneath your shirt and the cops fucking stop you and you don't have a fucking license, you better have a license, okay? At least have a license, and don't carry it in a holster. Put it underneath your fucking shirt, tuck it in your waistband, do something like that, because if you put it in a holster, it's open carry. You need to keep it concealed, you need to keep it somewhere nobody even knows where the fuck you have it, right? And there's so many good guns out there that you can get that are really small that you can keep concealed. And one of them is the Beretta Bobcat. I think it's 22 LR, and you can get it with, you can get little buckshot rounds if you want it. I got somebody that makes rat shot. They call it rat shot, and what it is, it's kind of like shotgun shot. It's got little pellets in it, but the best thing that you want with 22 is just a plain regular 22 round. And I think this one carries 7, I'm pretty sure, I don't know. But the thing is, somebody walks up on you with a gun and you shoot them in the face with a 22 and you got 7, I mean, it's just, it's a no-brainer, you know what I'm saying? Really small, really compact. Nobody's ever going to know you have it on you. And if somebody ever walks up on you, then you got it. And, you know, that's kind of the great thing about having really concealed carry arms. Like, I love having bigger arms, you know, or whatnot. When it comes down to actually keeping something in your waistband, keeping it concealed, those little 22s is where it's at. Those little, like I said, the Beretta Bobcat is fucking deadly. It's great. It's great. You can keep it right on you. Nobody is ever going to know you have it. You know, especially if you got it in your pocket. Nobody's ever going to know. And if it's registered to you or whatever, in Missouri, like I said, you don't, like I said, you just got to walk in there and do a background check, buy the gun, buy the ammo. In Illinois, it's a whole lot different. So, it really just depends. Now, I've been thinking about moving to Missouri because, not only just because of gun laws and shit, but because there's so much land out there that you can buy. So, And a lot of it is right along the water. So, we'll see here in the future on what turns out, where I end up. But the thing is, always check with whatever state that you live in on what the gun laws are. And it's really crazy, but the constitutional right says that everybody has the right to bear arms. So always think about that. You know, state law does not supersede federal law when it comes down to it. Neither one of them do. Federal law doesn't supersede state law, and state law doesn't supersede federal law, okay? So, if the federal law says everybody has the right to bear arms, then there is no state law out there that can supersede and say, you don't have the right to bear arms unless you apply for a permit. So, think about that. Just think about it. It's up to you, whatever you want to do with it, but it's crazy, it's bananas, and so yeah. Till the next one, it was real, it was fun, but it wasn't real fun. Deuces.